Tuesday, March 8th. Having a conversation concerning today's headlines and real-life challenges. I'm Tom Lamprecht along with Pastor Harry Reeder. Stay with us as we apply a biblical worldview with gospel solutions to put the issues of today in perspective. Harry National Review, along with a number of other media outlets, is reporting last week Joe Biden made it official. He announced that he is nominating Ketanji Brown Jackson, a federal judge and former law clerk, to Stephen Breyer, to replace Breyer on the Supreme Court. Jackson has spent a decade as a federal district judge and was confirmed last year to the D.C. Circuit Court. Although she has barely been there long enough to have much of a record as a federal appellate judge, in addition to being the first African-American woman on the court, she will be the first former federal public defender on the court.
Yes, and you know, she clerked for Stephen Breyer, which I'm sure that played into the nomination. Tom, we have said something on numerous occasions that's now pretty obvious stated fact, and that is elections have consequences. And one of the areas that elections have consequences in the United States is, in fact, the judicial branch. Because whoever is president, or in the case of state judges, whoever is governor, begins the process of appointment in most cases, and then it goes to the legislative bodies for approval. But here is something that's very different about this particular nomination. This nomination actually adds to the aphorisms of political campaigning and elections. It is a stated fact that Joe Biden's campaign was headed into oblivion. And it is there that he came out with a number of initiatives, and the most obvious one that he used to gain support in the Democratic parties was a promise that in his administration and the likelihood of a Supreme Court justice, that he would appoint the first African-American female as judge. That if you elect me, I will appoint the historic first of an African-American female judge. Now, let me be just as clear as I can. The issue of race and gender is not my issue. My issue is when you make it the issue for the appointment of a justice. On the judicial branch, what we need to get, no matter what race, no matter what gender, we need to get the most able constitutionalists who understand what it means to be a judge, who have the competencies to be a judge, the character to be a judge, and the ability to make judgments. And so, for me, one of the great catastrophes of this is that while I disagree with the stated philosophy that Ketanji Brown Jackson has concerning judicial activism as the primary statement of her judicial philosophy, in fact, when Biden presents her, he says, what we get with this judge is someone who will make moral decisions. He never said a word about her ability to know and handle and make judgments in relationship to the Constitution. It was not an ideology of morality. It was a morality of ideology. And that morality is one of a progressive and judicial activist sitting on the bench of the Supreme Court. Now, the reality is this is a very smart woman, and the fact that this is a historic first, that she is an African-American woman and the first one to be on the Supreme Court, is in and of itself something to celebrate. But that cannot become the reason that we put people on the Supreme Court. It has to be credentials and competency and character. That's what we desperately need for people who are making judgments in which not only lives are at stake and livelihoods are at stake, but the constitutional foundation of this nation is at stake. Joe Biden, in an effort to resurrect a flagging campaign, used a quota system view of the Supreme Court with a promise that if I am elected, I will appoint an African-American female judge. But what really pains me is now she goes down not based upon what she merited, but based upon the fact that this was a campaign promise fulfilled by a president who made this promise to enhance his electoral viability and now had to fulfill it, and she becomes the fulfillment. Her achievements in law school, her achievement as a public defender, her achievement and the sitting upon the bench, that should be why someone is put forward, not because of their gender or their race. So let me suggest to those who are going to be hearing the case that she makes, don't do what Biden has done in reverse. Don't you contest it because of race and gender. What you do is debate her judicial philosophy. Tom, I will say, no matter how great the credentials, when someone is driven by the ideology of progressivism in their judicial decisions, it will show up in the appeals process. And one of the weaknesses of Ketanji Brown Jackson's nomination is how many times she's been overruled in the appeals court where her cases were heard. And let me just say, if you want to go see a wonderful presentation, go to the American Museum of the Bible and hear the presentations concerning Frederick Douglass. Frederick Douglass never fought for the rights of the emancipated slaves based upon their color, based upon gender or race, but based upon their abilities that were untapped, that could be developed, that will do nothing but bless this nation. Or Martin Luther King, that we would rejoice in our relationships, not based upon the color of our skin, but the character. Now, all of that has disappeared in the current racial discussions and the movement toward equity instead of equality. I am all for diversity on the Supreme Court. What I long to see is the fact that we recognize that all men and women, no matter what the gender, what the race, in the public square, are made in the image of God, and instead of choosing or rejecting based upon racial and gender labels, that what we actually do is look at what they have done in the public square, look at the job we need them to do, and have they merited it, and will they do a good job, and then put them in there and be thankful that we have such a plethora of ability in the ethnicities of this nation, that we've come together around the law of the Constitution, and we recognize equality of opportunity, not the ideology of equity or the quota system in the name of equity. That's what you don't want to happen. If you've never read Clarence Thomas's biography, where he speaks of the effect of his grandfather in his life, honestly, let me just tell everyone, I am an unabashed fan of Clarence Thomas. I love to read his opinions. I love to watch the way he articulates his positions. I love to learn from him. I just don't even think of him as an African American. I think of him as a man made in the image of God. I praise God. He professes Christ, and I marvel at what he has overcome and what he has done. And that's what I would love to see in every leader in our nation, men and women in the public square who have done what is right and demonstrated character and competency. Then we rejoice in having statesmen in the executive branch, in the judicial branch, and in the legislative branch. What we need to do now in these hearings is affirm the fact that elections have consequences, and then pray that the electorate begins to understand that what we need is not to elect people who make promises to enhance their future, but who make promises based upon the future needs of a country that needs all hands on deck, gaining the best leaders we can from the men and women who are in the public square demonstrating public virtue.
In the world, the workplace, and even in the church, there is an obvious lack of biblical, godly, dynamic leadership. Harry Reader's book, 3D Leadership, is devoted to equipping the church and believers to multiply and mobilize leaders in all walks of life. This expanded, revised, and reformatted publication of the leadership dynamic includes discussion questions at the end of each chapter. A great resource for your personal development, group Bible study, or for church officer and leadership training. 3D Leadership, defining, developing, and deploying Christian leaders who can change the world. To order your copy, go to briarwood.org/3D. Do stop by again tomorrow, Wednesday, as we continue our conversation and as we apply a biblical worldview to put the issues of today in perspective.